of Luke, Luke chapter 5, if you would please turn there. Thank you, Brother Gray. And I was reading, and I was praying about, Lord, what would you have us to start out? We're in this new year. We're in the first month of this year, first few days of this year. Lord, what would you have us to lead us? And I believe that this is a time to kind of redraw some lines. I think we probably need to speak some about evangelism and winning souls for Jesus. I think we need to speak some about our prayer life and walking with God in prayer and in His Word. I think we probably should need to visit, our giving. And it's a wonderful time to think about. By the way, you should be getting your giving report tonight. And if you're like me, we, with great excitement and expectation, we opened the envelope to see what we gave to God this past year. And then if I don't think it's right, I'll call Dean and I'll say, I want you to recount this thing. And he recounts it, and normally he's always right. There's some things that we're going to deal with. I think evangelism, and I think prayer. I think our giving, our benevolence to God, our tithes and offerings, and some of these things should be dealt with. Tonight, I want to speak to you about, it's just a simple passage here, but it has always excited me, always. So many passages of God's Word. It's all God's Word, but certain passages aren't there that just speak so much. When I was in physical rehab, there was a dear lady there whose husband taught Sunday school. Oh, it was a really funny time. It was a Sunday morning, and they were working me out that Sunday morning. And the sweet lady, her name was Hillary, she got a text from her husband and saying that their 7-year-old was not happy with what he had laid out for her to wear, and sent a picture of her 7-year-old. It was Joy Bell for the world, man. And I remember that. Joy Bell, we had this beautiful London Fog burp brown coat. She hated that coat, but it was given to us. It was a London Fog, wonderful. And then she had these brown shoes that she had. They were pretty hideous, you know. But what? She said they looked like polio shoes. And well, you ran sideways anyway, so I think you probably fit. But her coat, she hated the color of her coat. It's about the color of her sweater tonight. That was the color of her coat. But she'd wear that thing, and every morning for kindergarten, we'd have a war over that coat and those shoes every morning. But I was in rehab, and she showed me her picture, and of course the father, he had this, she said she wants to wear this princess dress, so they were talking back and forth, and the father sends back, says, is she supposed to wear something underneath this princess dress? It's kind of short. It was one that you wear like the legging things with or something. But there's another lady in there who was my therapist. Her name was Crystal, sweet, sweet lady. And her husband was sharing some of the things that he was teaching from John 21. And I want to tell you, John, the Gospel of John, I know it like the back of my hand. And John chapter 1, John chapter 3, John 21, I especially know those passages. And she starts talking about what he's going to teach, and I just go off on John 21. And she sits back and she says, well, Pastor, you sure know the Bible, don't you? I said, yes, I do. I didn't tell her I don't know the Bible the way I know John 21, but I knew John 21. And there's some things here that we can see, and I want to speak to you, and I want to challenge you in a good way. I don't like beating up on people. You know, I can't beat up on you. You know that, don't you? And it's too early in the year for me to start smacking you around. We'll wait till we get to the end of February for that. We'll get through Valentine's, and we'll start that stuff. But in Luke 5, let's look at the passage. We begin with verse 16. The he here is Jesus. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I like that phrase. With him there is power. And it says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man who was taken with a palsy. Now this palsy is a trembling, involuntary shaking. It's a muscular weakness type disease, crippling disease. Obviously, he's in a bed. So these men, they brought in a bed with this man on it, which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, Jesus. And when they could not find by way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and led him down through the tingling with the couch into the mist before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, I am not doing well with a computer, and I'm trying to study and read, and I'm doing something that this Bible is the Bible that I started pastoring here at Bethel back in 1989. You got some Bibles like that, Brother Ray and Brother Martis and Brother Derryberry. It's that wide margin Bible, and I just scribbled down some thoughts here. And my wife tells me, if you can see, that my Bible's a coloring book, and I color in it all the time. But I sit down with this Bible. I asked Debbie to bring me this Bible, and I sat down and I wrote down some things about this short passage of Scripture dealing with evangelism. Let me say, first of all, notice the problem. There's a problem. Verse 18, this is a man who is crippled with palsy. Now, let me say that from the time we are born crippled. It's because of the sin of Adam, the first Adam that sinned. And sin was I conceived, is what David said. We're born sinners. We're born crippled. I think sometimes that we'll look at a special child such as our grandson, and we'll look at him and see some of the effects that he has. But I want you to know, all of us are special children because we're not what God would have us to be. We're not what God intended us to be. I want you to know that. And sin has done that. Sin has crippled us. It's a condition from birth. And this man, he was helpless. This man, he could do nothing for himself. He had this palsy. He had this involuntary shaking. He had this muscular weakness. He didn't have the ability to get out of that bed, to stand upon his own. He had this uncontrollable trembling about him. And this is the problem that we have. And you and I all have people in our family. You and I all have people in our circle of influence who have the palsy of sin. They are helpless. They are hopeless. And we see here that he was there by himself, and he had a great desire to be made whole. That's what man's craving is. There's a desire to be whole. Now, the world always shouts at us. The world always screams to us. The world has fireworks that promise us that it's going to fill the vacancy that's within us. Some of us who are here tonight before Christ, we listened to those voices. We listened to those sounds, and we were snatched. We were hooked by the hooks of Satan into that line of sin. We have some baggage. We have some scars of our past that through the grace of God, they have been forgiven. And this is what sin does. And this man, he's not whole. He needs to be touched. He needs to be made whole. This is the problem. And this is a universal problem, not just with this man, not just in America, but also in China, also in Russia, also in the Ukraine, also in South America. Around the world, man has this palsy of sin. It's a crippling sin. It's a crippling disease that we cannot bear. We cannot face God. Now, not only is there the problem, but notice the press. It's mentioned up in verse 1 in a different situation. But it says, "And it came to pass that after the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." He sees these two ships and he asks Peter to launch out into the deep, to a little ways where he can preach. And here is the press. Notice verse 19. "And when they could not find by the way, they might bring him because of the multitude." There was a press of people, and Jesus was in this small house. We're not told the address. We're not told how large the house is. We're not told who the house belonged to. But he's in this house, and we're told that when people found that he was there, he comes out of the wilderness from praying, and there are people who have come from Jerusalem and from all over the place. I can't find the passage right now where it speaks about that. But they have come out, everyone, to meet Jesus. Now, some came to see his miracles. Some came because they needed a miracle. And this house is filled. It is standing room only. And here are these four men with this man on a bed. They all have a corner, and they're trying to get in, but they cannot get through. Have you been in a situation like that? I've been in some churches like that. I've been in some meetings like that. I think the biggest press I've ever been on is at the train depot in China. That's the greatest press I have ever been in. And I was there with some of my favorite people. And luckily, I'm a pretty big guy, and the guy I was with was even bigger than me. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, I'm a steamroller. I'm going to roll over you, you know. And we're sitting there, and we're standing there, and I mean, we're literally just sandwiched, and it's getting tighter and tighter. And our wives are with us, and it's getting tighter and tighter. And I don't know, I don't want to fib or tell a lie, I'm just guessing, but it seemed like there's 10,000 people in there, and thankful for the efficiency of the Chinese, they opened two doors to get out of. You know, there's doors galore, but they're going to open two. And when they opened the two, it became a free-for-all. And I'm from Tennessee, I've been taught manners. But when I saw my friend hurling little Chinese people around, I started doing it. I started doing it, too, to get to the train. And what a press. And these people, we see the problem, but we see the press. Now, this crowd, this multitude, verse 19, it's so great. It's so incredible. In verse 17, it says, that they came from every town, Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, they found out where he was at. Man, they packed that place. Can I tell you this? Anybody that has a brain wants to be close to Jesus. And so they're there. This is their problem. Now, let me tell you something. The crowd here is an issue. The crowd here is a problem. And I want you to know it's the press that gives us a great deal of difficulty. There's the sinful crowd, and there are those who we can't get to Jesus because of the sinful crowd, and they'll say, "Oh, it's just a fad you're going through. It's just something that you'll get over. You'll be back, and you know, you've got a history with us." The sinful crowd, and then there's that complacent crowd. It's all okay. You know, let's just cruise along. And there's a complacent crowd. They don't get hot and bothered over anything. They're just going to lope along. And then there's that compromising crowd. And they compromise, and they want to be like the world. They pretend to be like the world, act like the world, trying to win the world. Listen, the crowd has always been an issue. And these men, the problem was this man, he had the crippling sin of his palsy. There's the press. The house was packed full. You couldn't get another person in there, especially a bed with four men. Notice, if you would, the personnel. In verse 18, it says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. Now, it doesn't tell us that there's four here, but I'm assuming it might be four. There's four corners. I'm just making that assumption. Don't brand me a heretic because I say that. But I think there's probably four men here. And they have this vision, this personnel. Notice what it says here in verse 18. And they sought means. Let me ask you something. Do you seek means to bring people to Jesus? They sought means. What they were doing was good. What they were doing was biblical. What we were doing was righteous. They were going to bring this man to Jesus so that he could touch them and that he could be made whole. And they sought means to do this. But listen, any time you're going to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to deal with crowds. You're going to deal with obstacles. You're going to have to deal with some difficulties. And we see here that the personnel, these men, they had a concern for this brother, for this friend, for this dear person. They had a compassion here. And we need to have a compassion. We need to be the personnel. Can I tell you that when the Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And we see here that there's this personnel, and they hit this big issue, this big situation, and they're not sure. So they're seeking out, the Bible says in verse 18, they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Now, we see the problem, we see the press, we have the personnel, but now look at the process. I think this is great. The process is verse 19. The Bible says they couldn't, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, the press there, they went up on the housetop and let him down. Now, understand this. They got up on the roof of that house. Some way they got up there and they got him up there too. And I don't know, maybe the rooftop was flat. I'm not sure. I don't think it's what we have today. But it was probably flat, like a Peter who was on the rooftop when he had the vision. Could have very well been that. But I want you to know, I don't think they had a sunroof. I don't think they had a sun window in there that's in there. I think that they said, let's see here. I think Jesus is standing right about here. This is about the center of the house. And they begin to break the top of the house off. They begin to, you know, when people want to do something for Jesus, sometimes it seems radical. But let me tell you something, they're doing the right thing. We see the process. And they begin to tear apart the roof. And they went on the housetop, verse 19, and they let him down. And notice now we see not just the process, but notice the power. We're told in verse 17, it says the latter part, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, I want to tell you, when you find Jesus, you find power. And you take your pain, you take your sorrow, you take your fears. Can I tell you this? I know we have godly people here, and there are folks who are struggling with anxiety, but struggling with anxiety is a lack of faith, and a lack of faith is sin, and you ought to ask God to forgive you for that and go deeper in your faith and deeper in your relationship with the Lord. I want you to know I've had some dark days and some hard times just as you have, we take our anxiety to him. We have songs that we sing. We have passages that we memorize. But yet, in real life situation, we begin to fall apart. That's not what we should do. We should endure hardness as a good soldier. We should quote those scriptures. And we should ask God to show himself to us in the midst of that time that we are in, that hard time of anxiety. Now, we see here the power. He had the power, the power of the Lord was present for them. Notice verse 20. I like this. He says, and when he saw their faith, he just didn't see the faith of this man with the palsy, but he saw their faith. God looks at your faith as well. You know, God weighs your faith. God measures your faith. I believe that. I believe that we came to some points when we were building this building that it became virtually impossible for us to get a loan to build this building. But I knew God, where He leads, He supplies. Amen. Where He leads, He supplies. And God did so. But He weighs, He values our faith. And in verse 20, it says, "And when He saw their faith, He said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." So we have this problem. He is a man with raked with sin of the palsy. We have the press. We have a crowd, well-meaning, but they're in the way of this man coming to Christ. We have the personnel. Now, we don't know who these personnel people are, but I want to tell you something they had in common. They knew who Jesus was. They knew He was the answer. They knew this guy didn't have a prayer. He didn't have a dog's chance. And they were unified. Now, we don't see somebody here trying to lead over the others. We see them working together. And I want to tell you this. You listen to me. It took some kind of cooperation and unity and some smarts to get up on that rooftop. I don't think they went down to Sears and Roebuck and bought a ladder. I don't think it happened that way. I don't know how they did it. But they were determined. They saw a way to be able to bring this man before the Lord. Now, can you imagine this personnel? They get on the top. We see the process. They're not, and they're looking. People are looking. What's going on? You know, and stuff is you know, coming down. Wallpaper's coming down, and the wife gets upset because stuff is falling all over her 17 pillows on the couch over here. And there's all kinds of stuff. A person has their storage of yarn over here in the basket, and they're concerned about. And stuff is just falling in. And finally, daylight comes through. And I want to tell you something. I don't know how big of a hole it was, but it was big enough to get a bed through. What kind of process would you go through? I could tell you. I won't belabor it tonight. But I could tell you some crazy processes I've done to give the gospel to some people. We see the power. They got him. They lowered him down. And Jesus sees this man. He's swinging there on this bed. That bed's got a rope on each corner. Don't you know that? There's a man on each rope. Let it down. Let it down. John, you're going too fast. Slow up, son. Okay. Bartholomew, you know, slow up a little bit there, you know. You know, Marcus, you're going too far. He's going to roll out on that side. I mean, they had to have some unity, right? And they all look up and here he is. The other day, this is a poor illustration. The other day I had to go to the aquatherapy. And we thought we'd drop the trash off on our way out. And there was trucks backed out all the way. We have one bag of trash. And Debbie says, "Honey, just pull in the parking lot, and I'll just walk it across." And we pulled in the park. Everybody's in the car by themselves. I pull in the parking lot. She gets it and goes out and throws it away. And boom, we go. And everybody was giving us the mean eye. You know, they're looking at us. And I just thought, quit looking at me, man. You just wish you had a pretty lady to take your trash out. You know. They lowered him down. Now, we see the power. Now, don't miss this. Notice the Pharisees. I didn't have to work hard on that one, did I? And the scribes, verse 21, and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Let me say, when you do something great for God, you're going to have some Pharisee give you some criticism. Don't you listen to it. You know, they began to question. You know, they're very questions. Who is this? Who can forgive? Their two questions truly reveal their wicked, dark heart of who they are. And I want you to know that it didn't hinder these four at all. This man was healed from his palsy. I think they were on the roof, and I think they were doing a little bit of a Baptist dance. They were rejoicing. The man who had no control, the man who knows for how many years had the tremors and how many years had this involuntary shaking and how many years had been on this bed and begging for alms. And now he's whole. He's complete. He is made well. He is healed. Can I tell you this? The snippy little words, these little snippy dogs of the Pharisees, it didn't make an impression on them. And I want you to know it shouldn't make an impression on us either. I don't know. Maybe the Pharisees got on, you know, the wide world web. We were watching Jesus. By the way, they went there just to watch Jesus. They weren't watching him with binoculars. They had a microscope watching him. And they said, who is this blasphemer who can forgive? Who is this one? Who is this person? And you're going to always have that. Now, let me close with this. Which are you? Are you the man who needs a touch from Jesus? Because I want you to know, he'll touch you. He'll touch you. He'll make you whole. And when he does, he'll bring the joy of the Lord in your life. Are you this man who needs help? Are you a person that's in the way? Are you in the crowd? Are you a person who's halting and you're being a, you know, you're not trying to be intrusive, but you just won't get with the program. You're in the crowd, but you're not just getting people to Jesus. Are you in that crowd? Are you a part of the personnel? Are you one who say, well, I don't know a whole lot, but I can hold a rope and I can lower my corner down. I don't know a whole lot, but I certainly can blast a hole through for this guy's bed to get through. Are you part of the personnel? And then let me ask you, are you one of the critics? Are you the Pharisee? Great passage, isn't it? Not a anything that I printed out, but just scribbled down in the side of my Bible. I tell you what I want to do. I want to rejoice because I was the man who was lame, and now I'm made whole. And I want you to know my greatest joy has been to be a part of the personnel to bring people to him. Would you stand and let's pray? Now, with our heads bowed, I want you to seriously take time to focus on this. If you're here tonight and you need to be touched, if you have the palsy, listen, let Jesus heal you. If you're here tonight, hey, you know, don't be part of the multitude. Don't be in a crowd that hinders God's work. Don't be a part, you know, I'm sure you're not part of the sinful crowd, but don't be part of that compromising crowd. Don't be a part of that complacent crowd. Be active for God. Hey, take focus. Are you part of the personnel? Have you led people to Jesus? Are you leading people to Jesus? Or do you feel, although you've never led a person to Christ, you've never torn a hole in anybody's roof to lower someone down to Jesus, you've never found any sources to get people to Christ, yet you feel an expert to criticize and to critique, you're a Pharisee. Let God have his way in your heart and your life. Tender your heart to God. Four can do more. I think there were four men, one for each corner. Four can do more in the bus ministry. Four can do more in the nursery. Four can do more in the children's church. Four can do more in King's Kids. Four can do more in the choir. I've said it and you've repeated it, but many hands make work light. And I want to be a part of the personnel. Lord, help us use this simplistic message tonight, but just purely straight from the Bible. Lord, help us to bring our anxieties before you, our fears, our concerns, for we know that you can calm us. Have your way. Take the message tonight and change somebody's life. In thy name I pray. As God speaks to you tonight, don't wait. Come quickly to the altar.